This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Watford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I am joined in the studio with a mixed, with a frustrated Andy Lewis from the Hornets Nest podcast. We will be here for the next hour talking everything where Watford is concerned. Of course, we will have to look at that very, very disappointing game.
No, we don't. We don't.
We don't need to.
We don't need to, no.
We don't. Andy has made a decision for the pair of us. We will not be talking about tomorrow's game. We will not be acting like it happened whatsoever. No, unfortunately, Andy is wrong. We will have to look at the disappointing game against Man City yesterday. 8-0. Where did it all go wrong? Issues with the starting lineup, 5 goals conceded after 20 minutes, Watford's heaviest ever defeat in English league football. Irresistible football, that is, from Manchester City. We have to talk about it, but we'll obviously give you the Watford perspective. But in brighter news, we will be talking to Peter Quinn, member of the Proud Hornets, about a special award the Hornets won this week, which is on a much brighter note, and we're looking forward to that at 7:15. Then at 7:30, we will do a Swansea preview and a Wolves preview, looking at the next Premier League game, because after losing 8-0, it surely can't get worse. But I have to talk to the man, Andy. Mixed, Andy, for me, very excited to do the Watford Fan Show. I've listened from afar with you and Matt, and I've always admired it. And then today, I was, you know, this weekend, getting excited to talk to you. Had one eye on the result, obviously keeping an eye on the score. It all went downhill 1 minute in, didn't it, my friend? What do you make of the game, firstly?
I'm not sure there's any... Is there any point in analysing it? We can try. We can certainly try. There is genuinely no point. It was 8-0. I've never said that scoreline in my Watford supporting life. I can nearly sort of
be in your territory. Arsenal lost 8-2 at Old Trafford, yes. So I can kind of maybe sense a little bit where you're coming from.
You know the pain that I feel somewhat. You at least scored 2 goals. It's impossible. I wasn't there yesterday. I feel my overriding emotion really from it all is I feel incredibly sorry for the fans that made that trip. What a monumental waste of their time. We've had heavy defeats in the past. We've lost 5-0, 6-0, etc. It happens. You know, Man City are a fantastic footballing team, and on their day, like I agree with you, they're completely brilliant to watch. Kevin De Bruyne has done masterclasses against us several times, and sometimes you just got to stand up and applaud. On this occasion, though, the absolute bare minimum you want as a fan is effort and a sense of pride that you're actually competing. There was none of that yesterday, and for those fans who travelled up, who spent their money, who made the choice to, you know, they might have had other offers, other things to do on a weekend, on a very lovely weekend weather-wise. For them to go there and after 20 minutes be 5-0 down, that's Sunday League. That's we're talking Sunday League stuff there.
Well, let me ask you then, Andy, because it's actually an interesting point that I wanted to raise with you today. Mm-hmm. A lot of ex-pros, pundits, you know, players alike, all over social media is now where we always go for our analysis and what people are thinking after the game. Not just from the Watford side, have said, you know, maybe the Watford board, the Watford players should put their hands in their pockets and refund the fans, you know, who did make that trip, like you said, all the way to Manchester and got nothing, taking the time out of their weekend, their hard-earned money. What do you think about that? Should there be something like this where maybe the Watford go? But also, the flip side is, if I can even interrupt myself there, it is their professional job. They can't do this every time they lose. You know, results like this are going to happen, like you said, maybe not 8-0 but 5-0. Where do you stand on that?
It's difficult, isn't it, because on one hand, you know, the fans have made a choice to spend their money and travel, and that is their choice, but like you said, if it happens once, it's then got to happen again. And where's the cutoff point? At 6-0 it's fine, but at 7-0 it's not. That's a very, very difficult situation to sort of get into. I completely understand. If I travelled yesterday, I would want my money back, because I wouldn't feel like I would have got value for money from it, because at the end of the day, football is a business. Football is entertainment. It's like if you go to a restaurant and you get a poor service and a rubbish meal, you get the wrong plate delivered to your table. You didn't get what you asked for. Or if you go to a show and they have to pull the curtain down early, for instance. Football is kind of, whilst it's viewed differently because we go week in, week out, it is in the same bracket entertainment-wise as something like a West End show. And if you feel like you don't get value for money, you are entitled to make a complaint in that sort of industry and request your money back. Now, I would be completely on the side of the Watford fans if... because I personally can't take any sort of... not credit or... I guess be on the side of anyone, I guess, because I wasn't there. But if the Watford fans who did go sort of banded together and said, listen, this was not good enough, we won't do this every time that we have heavy defeats because it'll happen again for sure. If they got together and said, look, this was not good enough, we want some sort of, we want our money back. It's £30 a ticket. We want our £30 ticket. Watford aren't going to refund.
Even maybe subsidise their travel, because you said, there will be other defeats, hopefully not many and hopefully not this heavy, but it is their heaviest defeat. So this is a one-off. This is a rarity. And it's a valid point you make about going to a restaurant. I know they're completely different. It's a bit of a weird comparison, but it is true. If you don't get the service you want to see, that effort and desire, you won't get it. If we can... turn our attentions maybe to the game, though. Why is it that, you know, last week, I know you wasn't here, so we can't talk about the Arsenal game because that was more a positive result. 31 shots for Watford. You must have thought the new manager bounce is here. Why, when Watford were 2-0 down there, I know they were at home, but they felt like they still had a chance. They was in it. Why yesterday were the players almost, you know, they down tools after 1-0, 2-0. That's what it felt like. There was no fight in the players chasing them down. Why did they give up as opposed to last week when it really kicked them on?
I think you have to look at the opposition. Arsenal are not in the same bracket as Manchester City. And I'm sorry to say that, that to you. But
you're correct.
City and Liverpool, and last season I probably would have said Spurs, but not so much at the start of this season. They're in their own league, essentially, City and Liverpool, aren't they? Arsenal are a lot weaker and they're a lot more fragile, I think, mentally. Compared to the Liverpool City.
Don't go too far.
I'm not going to say the C word, don't worry, the Dini C word. But I think because we're at home as well, and the first goal that we got back came from an Arsenal mistake, that lifted the crowd. And when you're at somewhere like the Etihad, and after 52 seconds going 1-0 down, and then after 7 minutes going 2-0 down, the Watford players, the mentality, the heads just drop. Yes, we did it last week. We did it at home against a weaker side. Man City, I don't think, have that... let me rephrase. Manchester City are mentally stronger than Arsenal, than a lot of the clubs in the Premier League. And Watford let their heads drop. And psychologically, I was speaking to my dad after the game, you know, this doesn't happen to any other side in the league. You know, sides will get hammered by Man City and Liverpool.
Well, they beat West Ham 5-0 on the opening day.
Exactly.
And West Ham are fifth now.
It happens, you know. Clubs will get rolled over by teams, and we probably got them on a bad day considering they were coming off the back of their first defeat of the season. But that happens to us regularly against Liverpool and Man City, and there must be a mental element, because psychology makes up a huge aspect of professional sport. Not just professional football, professional sport. You have to walk onto that pitch, you have to be arrogant, you have to think, I don't care... you know, Aguero earns 10 times more than me. I don't care that this stadium is, you know, 10 times bigger than Vicarage Road. It's 11 men versus 11 men. And when we go a goal down against the bigger sides, so to say, that mentality in Watford's head, they seem to think like their shoulders drop, their heads drop, like they can't seem to get back into the game mentally, not necessarily physically, but mentally. And that's a huge, huge problem in this current Watford squad. I think also with the lack of Dini, not so much in terms of the way we play, but more so the leadership that Troy brings. Without Troy on the pitch, Watford do not have a leader. You know, last week, Capu was captain. This week, Eddie Mariapa was captain. Love those players to bits, but not leaders. You need a player, when things are going wrong, to G the team up, get them in a huddle, say, look, it's not going well. Let's stick to the game plan. Let's do this. Let's do that. Watford don't have that when Deeney's not on the pitch.
Well, it's very interesting you touched upon mentality, Andy. You know, where are the leaders? You obviously sacked your manager, the first Premier League managerial casualty of the season, second Javi Gracia, you know, five games into the season, who ultimately does weirdly have a better record than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who is still in his job at Man United today, even though they lost 2-0 to West Ham earlier. When you get a new manager, we always speak about the supposed new manager bounce, or the I think that's what they call it, the new bounce for the manager. Obviously, it worked last week against Arsenal. 2-0 down, 2-2, 31 shots. You know, here's where Watford could kick on. Not the easiest of starts for the new man. Mm. Obviously, Arsenal at home, Man City away. But were you hoping that that momentum from that game and the new manager bounce would last a little bit longer?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you'd spoken to a Watford fan before the Arsenal game about the Manchester City game, would have said, you know, absolutely no chance. Yeah, it's not going to happen. If you then fast forward maybe 24 hours after the Arsenal game, the way we played, and obviously Norwich had beaten City the night before, you think, yeah, we're probably still going to lose. Let's be realistic. But we've got a chance. We can play like that. That second half against Arsenal was the best I've seen us play in a long time. We were fantastic, and Arsenal didn't really stand a chance against us second half, and we probably could have and should have won it towards the end. Now, having said that, again, still wasn't expecting to have beaten Manchester City. I'm not stupid, but I thought we could have put up a performance. And like I said, for the travelling fans, that is the absolute bare minimum that is expected of any footballing side. It doesn't matter if you're Manchester City or if you're Accrington Stanley, whoever. You want to see a performance. The fans didn't get that. And in all honesty, as the notifications were flicking onto my phone, I was embarrassed and I wasn't there.
You thought you were just getting loads of texts, weren't you? Well, why is it flashing?
Yeah, like, Mum, what do you want? Like, but that was the first time. And this is my 20th year of being a Watford fan. But that was the very first time I've been embarrassed. To be a Watford fan.
Strong words. Andy was embarrassed. Do you agree? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can get involved tonight. Let me quickly ask you a question, Andy. Sometimes it's not always the result that, you know, carries out our emotions. It's the performance. Because saying that Watford went and lost 2-0 yesterday, you might have gone, oh, you know what, 2-0 away to City, disappointing. We didn't get the 3 points. But you know what? They've beat teams a lot heavier, you know, 2-0, we can take it. A new manager, we're trying out new things. We got that point to Arsenal last week. Let's kick on from here. But now when it is that 8-0, do you look into things that little bit heavier? Do you, like, dissect it that little bit further? Because you're like, it's 8-0, what is going on here? Now today, you know, if you don't mind me saying, we were talking before we come on air and you said, you cheered that Arsenal goal. And I said, Andy, soft spot for Arsenal. You said, no, you know, we're in a battle with Aston Villa here. I said, already it's September. Do you really see it? Is that, and you said, played 6, 2 points, we're in the battle, it's going to be a long season. That shocked me. But is that where Watford see themselves now? Already with 6 games in, we are in this battle, let's prepare.
I think at the moment, absolutely. You know, we're seeing Sheffield United win yesterday, we're seeing Norwich beat Man City, we're seeing Aston Villa should have held on against Arsenal today. Brighton look like they're capable of picking up points, as are Newcastle. Teams that were all sort of anticipated to be towards the bottom of the table at the start of the season look very comfortable in the league and look like they're capable of picking up points. And I think you can almost put Wolves in the same bracket as us, winless as well. They've obviously got the distraction of European football this season, which makes next week's game absolutely huge, but we'll come on to that later. We're definitely in a scrap at the moment. I would back us to get out of it, but the same problem keeps coming back in that defensively we are not good enough. End of. The team selection yesterday confused me a little bit. Obviously, Folquier came in for his Watford League debut and got taken off after we were 5-0 down, so a debut to forget for him. But yeah, I'm looking at other results and thinking, I want these teams to lose, because otherwise, if we, you know, if Villa had won, we're suddenly, you know, three, four points behind to get out of the relegation zone. And suddenly we're starting to panic and look up, and we don't ever want to be in that situation. We still want to be in touching distance come January.
Well, you don't want to be in that situation. And I've got some fantastic news for you, Andy. This situation is over. We're through. The review
fantastic.
Is done. We're on to brighter days for Watford, because next we're talking to Peter Quinn, a member of the Proud Hornets, about a very special award they won this week.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Watford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by happier Andy Lewis from the Hornets Nest podcast. We were, of course, discussing that terrible defeat to Man City yesterday, Watford's heaviest ever defeat. And you can get in touch. What do you make of it? 0208 70 20 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Get in touch tonight. It's your team, your voice. But I'm delighted to say, on to brighter news, we are now joined on the phone by Peter Quinn, member of the Proud Hornets. Peter, it is an absolute delight and pleasure to speak to you this evening. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. We know you won a very special award this week, but before we get on to that and reveal all, what were your thoughts on yesterday's game with Man City?
Basically despicable. really disappointed, especially for all those fans that travelled up there, but also the wider fan base as well. When you sort of see that abject performance, when you watch the highlights on Match of the Day, and you think, well, where's this season go to? But there we are. It's in the past. We need to forget about it and now move on. To me, it's all sort of stems back really for the lack of investment in the defence, really from probably around about after the Crystal Palace game in the FA Cup final, where the defence has looked pretty suspect, to be honest, really since then. But as I say, yesterday's gone now. It's in the past. We can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about the defence until the January transfer window, and we just need to batten down the hatches, all the supporters get round behind the team, and hopefully over the next few weeks we can get some points.
Peter, you just mentioned quickly you can't do anything about it till the January transfer window. Where do you think Watford will be come Christmas? You know, will they still be there, or will they go on this run? And is this maybe why they did have a change of manager? They obviously want Kike to make the purchases. You know, he's the man to get the right players in. Do you think they will show him investment in January?
I think they will improve. I think they'll still be around the bottom half, to be honest with you. But, there's never any guarantees in life. Just because you might buy a better player who might be worth, say, £20 million, doesn't necessarily mean that individual will be any better than what you've got already. So it's always a risk. But that said, we've had the same defence, really, since we've come up. And no disrespect to those current players who are getting obviously older, as we all are. How are the club going to really motivate them? But as I say, we really need to get behind the players now, certainly on Tuesday night, and show what we're made of as fans. And then hopefully the results will take care of themselves.
Hi there, Peter. Andy here. I completely agree with you about the defence. I wouldn't be surprised if the owners invest a lot of money in our defence come January, because God knows we need it. Now, forgetting about that 8-0 result, obviously never happened. We're not going to talk about it anymore. You are a member of the Proud Hornets. Tell us, what is the Proud Hornets, and how did this supporters group come about?
Yes, it was our LGBTQ+ group. We were formed about 2 years ago by two of my friends who contacted what football club separately about how they would go about to create a group. And basically, the club said, my friends to actually get in touch with each other. And then obviously, the group then developed from there on. It was started about 2.5 years ago. And when I joined myself just over a year and a half ago. And what we normally do, we meet in the pub, it's the usual place that we all go to, at the Escort Tavern, just a few hours before each kickoff of the game. And basically, the group has developed from there in terms of participating in London Pride, in participating in Hertfordshire Pride, and then obviously the big one, which was led to the award, which, I have to say, wasn't, just on our own, but a big thanks has to go to Roy Moore and the 1881 group for their support and the club to enable us to put on that display. That, that picture speaks a thousand words in terms of trying to get the message of, especially in now in today's society where there's so much abuse going on as part in life in general.
Yeah, fantastic. And obviously you mentioned Roy Moore there, creator, founder of the 1881 supporters group. And you touched briefly there earlier in the week. Huge congratulations to yourself and the 1881 winners of the Premier League's Fans for Diversity Award at this year's Football Supporters Association, partly for that fantastic display you did against Manchester City last season, but also for the work that you do outside of the displays and stuff in the Watford community. Tell us about that award. When did you find out about it? What was it like to know that you'd won it? Tell us about it.
Yes, I mean, we were sort of advised that we were up for the award about, probably, I think it was about 6 weeks ago. And the Kicking Out organisation notified us, and so we're having a first diversity awards conference in that at the Amnesty International headquarters in London on last Friday. And the awards given to different leagues for different clubs that obviously have highlighted or shown what they can do within their local communities, and we were pretty surprised actually that we were going to be up for the award and be to, obviously to get it. You know, as I was saying earlier, when, as part of the award, we met old Jason Lee, which was some Watford supporters that will have remember from years gone past. And he hasn't changed one bit. you know, and other people from other clubs, which is important when you're trying to integrate, and there's you know, in terms of when you're trying to you know, meet up with other groups as games go on in the season, we've already sort of arranged perhaps we could meet with other fan groups as the season progresses.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, and thoroughly deserved as well for yourselves and the 1881. And just finally, Peter, before you leave us, any plans for displays this season, and how can fans get involved with the group?
As for the display, we'll probably have a bit of a lower-key profile this year, but never say what's... you never know, just watch this space. But in terms of getting contact, please contact us at info, that's I-N-F-O, at proudhornets.com.
Perfect, Pete. Are fully deserved on that award. Where can we find you on Twitter as well for people who didn't know much about the Proud Hornets and the brilliant work you're doing?
Yes, if they just do at Proud Hornets and they'll find our Twitter account there.
Peter, really well done for this week. Best of luck to you, and we look forward to speaking to you at some point later in the season. Peter Quinn there, member of the Proud Hornets, winner of that brilliant award this week. Obviously, for the fans, they won the award for the Premier League Fans for Diversity Award at this year's Football Supporters Association. Well done to everyone involved at the Proud Hornets. Let's quickly look back at that match, Andy, because I've sort of told a fib. I said, we've moved on. But, you know, because there is so much, obviously, to talk through. What did you make after the manager's comments after the game? He said, obviously, he apologised, but he was also saying that, you know, this is it, you know, playing against a side like City, this is going to happen. Did you want to hit, which is what we have said, but did you want to hear him say more in that second game, like, look, we need to turn this around, we are in a battle? Did you want maybe him to charge you up slightly more, or was you just thought, what else can he say after a game like this?
To be honest, definitely the latter of what you've just before. Like, what can you say? At least he has come out and apologised to the fans. That's the absolute bare minimum. And we have to remember, like, none of the players wanted that. None of them, the manager and the coaching staff didn't want that. It's as embarrassing for them as it is for us. What can you say? You can't. There's no point really in going into much depth. And you know the stuff they're saying. You know, we win together, lose together. Like, fine, but you have to post up something after the game. It's. I would rather they just said, you know, it happens. We go on to Tuesday night against Swansea and then Wolves next weekend. But at least they apologised for the fans that made the journey.
They did apologise. No refund as of yet. But the good thing and the beautiful thing about football is that games come thick and fast. Saturday is already in the rearview mirror because, like Andy referred to there, it is Swansea in the Carabao Cup and then it is Wolves on the weekend. Next, we'll be previewing both.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Watford Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport Radio. I'm joined in the studio with Andy Lewis of the Hornets Nest. We were, of course, discussing that disappointing 8-0 loss to Man City, but that is gone. That is in the rearview mirror. One word to describe it. Inexcusable from Peter Quinn there, who we just spoke to, the member of the Proud Hornets, and that brilliant award they won this week, Fans for Diversity Award at the Football Supporters Association. And you can get in touch with us still tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558, or you can also WhatsApp on the same number. Well, Andy, I did say football, the games come thick and fast, especially in the Premier League, 2 to 3 games a week. Then you have the League Cup games. Well, they do come thick and fast because you're in action again in the Carabao Cup. You're playing Swansea, and I'm delighted to say we've now been joined on the phone by Steve Carroll, creator of the SOS Swansea fanzine. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. A big match for both teams. And as Andy rightly said earlier, Watford, there's only 2 places or so between Watford and Swansea at the minute, if we're looking as a league table over across the 4 leagues. What are your thoughts going into the game?
First of all, thanks for having me. The League Cup, because you can never tell, I suppose, how seriously teams are going to take it. Obviously, Watford have not had a great start to the season, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're prioritising the league and make a lot of changes. And in the first couple of rounds, Swansea have played 2 sides in League 2 and have made vast changes. So I'm not really sure what we're going to do either. I would think maybe we'll go a little bit stronger this time, because obviously if we're playing a Premier League team, we play the reserves, there's a chance we could be on the wrong end of a thumping. But it's sort of an interesting one. You never know with these games, and I think it could be a night where you don't know what's going to happen, really.
Hi there, Steve. Andy here. I thoroughly doubt you'll be on the end of a thumping. Although, if you could let us, that would be a real morale-boosting win for us. So please do. A fantastic result for you in the last round of the Carabao Cup, 6-0 against Cambridge. Like you say, you're not quite sure what team you're going to put out. But there must be an element of positivity for Swansea fans travelling to Watford, because, like you said, Watford have had this terrible start to the season, and you guys are flying high in the automatic promotion spots in the Championship.
Well, yeah, I think if Swansea were to put out a full team and Watford were to put out a full team, you'd probably think then, well, it should be quite an interesting game. But you just don't know really what you're going to see. Swansea this season so far, probably the best way of describing it, they've been quite difficult to play against. We haven't conceded anywhere near as many goals as what we did last season, and that's probably been the basis of the success. I mean, we have scored a few as well, but I think if I'm honest, we haven't created a lot of chances in many games. We tended to have taken those chances, whereas if you look, obviously, yesterday was a good result at Bristol City, but we didn't really look like scoring. The week before, we didn't score. The week before that, we played Leeds. We nicked a 1-0 where we didn't look like scoring. So I think that is sort of the issue really for Swansea at the moment, is although we are tough to score against, I think, going forward, we're not as prolific as we were in the first couple of games.
Obviously, it feels like you're doing Swansea a bit of a disservice there, Steve, because, you know, they are in those automatic spots. They're doing well. But maybe, you know, that international break, did that come at maybe the wrong time for them, because they got that brilliant win to Leeds, against Leeds at Elland Road? Yeah, it was a late winner and you didn't look like scoring, but you still got the 3 points. Since then, that disappointing home defeat to Forest last week and the 0-0 draw on the weekend, picking up points, but they've not really hit the firing on all cylinders since that international break, have they? Especially as well after Cooper got named manager of the month.
Yeah, you always worry, don't you, with that manager of the month, the curse did strike again. Yeah, I mean, it does happen sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, the international break can come at a good time for some teams, and then maybe for other teams it doesn't come at a good time. So yeah, I'd probably say it wasn't really at a great time for us, and we didn't play the
We've lost him. We have lost Steve just as we were getting to the vital bit. I was going to ask for his prediction and everything. We will endeavour to get Steve back there. He might be with us. I'm going to go to him in a second. He said there, and we speak about the international break for Watford, manager of the month curse. It'd just be nice for anyone to get player of the month, wouldn't it, for Watford at the minute, Andy?
I wish every week was an international break, Charlie. It's weird how sort of superstitions carry on, don't they? You know, we always talk about Watford having a manager of the month curse, and how that translates to every single fan at every single club. Oh no, we don't want to win that. So it's almost a blessing that, like, you draw your final game of the month. Like, oh, phew, we've avoided the curse this month. Like, it's almost, it's bizarre.
It is bizarre. Football fans, players, managers, we all have our superstitions, but we're not superstitious about Steve coming back to us, because he has rejoined us on the line. Steve, we lost you. We were missing you. You're back now. Where were you? Sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, really, about the game with Nottingham Forest, which we lost. I mean, they were a good side, in all fairness, but we didn't play particularly well on the day. Yeah, there's a chance maybe that international break has maybe disrupted us slightly, but, you know, these things happen. It's a long season, really, and I think Swansea are really overachieving. I think the fan base weren't really expecting us to be towards the top, and we're probably not expecting, certainly, to stay in the top two, but... I think if we were to finish around the playoffs, that would be a good season for us, really.
Now, there's a Watford player currently out on loan at Swansea City, a young Ben Wilmot. How's he getting on in Wales?
He's been unlucky so far. I think the issue he's got is that we've got Michael van der Hoorn and Joe Roden at centre-half, and they've played really well together so far. So other than the two League Cup games, he hasn't had a look at it. Now, obviously, if we weren't playing you on Tuesday night, then I think he'd be in the team. But obviously, he won't be able to play. So for him, that's probably quite a frustrating one, really, of all the teams we could draw, that you know, we've drawn the club he's on loan from. But he's looked quite assured in the couple of games he's played. But obviously, you know, he's only played in a couple of games, and they were against League Two sides. So I think his chance will come later in the season. Obviously, you get injuries and suspensions and all that type. You're just going to have to be a little bit patient for now. And as I say, he's just... lucky, really, that the players ahead of him have played well, and there's no real need to change something that's working.
Well, Steve, I have to put you on the spot. It is that time. What is your score prediction for the Swansea versus Watford game?
I'm going to say 1-1 and Watford to win on penalties.
You saved generous. It at the end. You've got some smiles in the studio, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
No, you're sitting on the fence, but we let you off. Steve Carroll, a real delight to speak to him there, creator of the SOS Swansea Fan Scene magazine. Well, Andy, you are not getting off that easily. What is your score prediction for the third round of the Carabao Cup?
Am I too bothered about scores? I don't really know. I want to see... the players who haven't been given a chance, are Yanmak, Keener. I want to see Cabaselli play, etc. I want to see Backman play in goal instead of Gomez.
You want to see a whole new 11, don't you, after that weekend?
I almost want to see a whole new... almost. We have an excellent squad, and that defensive line, I want Kike to start. Yanmak, Cabaselli, possibly Dawson alongside him, because they played well together against Arsenal, and Messina at left back, and I want Backman in goal. I want wholesale changes at the back, because something has to work. Prediction wise 2-0 Watford.
2-0 Watford, a brilliant win that would be. Let me ask you then, because obviously if we take out the poor start to the Premier League season Watford have had, Andy, where was your expectations, your aims, you know, with the cups? Because no disrespect to Watford, obviously, being in the Premier League, their greatest chance of silverware this season, domestic honours, were the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup. How much did you want to concentrate on them, or was it completely the league? And now, since after the poor start, has that changed? You still want to concentrate on the cups, or are you like, we are in this battle, we need to rest the players for the weekend?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you always, especially the teams that come up from the Championship, you question whether they would just throw the early stages of the League Cup and just concentrate on the league and get in a good foundation. But every football game that we compete in, I want to win. And I actually get really confused why teams would throw things like the FA Cup and the League Cup and just say, no, not fussed about that. Probably because there's more money in the league, but that's a completely different story. I want to win. There's no point me going to the game on Tuesday if I don't think or don't want to win the League Cup. Yeah, it's not seen in the same regard as the FA Cup, but Watford have never won a major trophy. Now, I want to see my club win a major trophy in my lifetime. I don't care if that's the Premier League, I don't care if it's the FA Cup or the League Cup. I want to see us win, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to try something different and to get some sort of winning mentality back. You know, we won comfortably against Coventry in the last round, and then got our first point against Newcastle in the following game. So it's a chance for us to try something new and get some confidence back.
It's a very fair point you make, Andy, because a lot's made, especially with Watford and Wolves, about this cup hangover from last year, and that's carried over into the new season. Is that having a detrimental effect on their playing status this year? But the flip side is, and the other alternative to that narrative, is that you can win. You can get loads of morale. You can carry that momentum into the Premier League. There's a feel-good vibe in the dressing room. And this could almost, a win in the cup could kickstart you back in the Premier League, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with a huge game against Wolves coming up the following weekend, I think it's a good time to give Kike a selection headache, because the players who turned out on Saturday, they certainly didn't prove a point that they should be starting against Wolves this coming weekend. So it's an excellent opportunity for some of the sort of fringe players in the squad to get a start. I'd like to see more of Ismaïla Sarr, of course. God knows why he's sitting on the bench. So it's kind of a baffling time, really, in terms of selection. Who's available? Who's not? Welbeck seems to be injured already. He's not made the squad in the last two league games. So it's kind of bizarre to be a Watford fan at the moment. No one really sort of knows what's going on. But on the pitch, we know what we're capable of. Tuesday night is an excellent chance to prove that. And Swansea are an excellent side. Actually, probably a good opposition for Watford to be playing, because they'll be quite similar and they'll be up for it as well. So it should be a fairly close game, and hopefully one that Watford could come through and get a bit of momentum from.
Well, it definitely is another chance to showcase some of those younger talents and give the manager a selection headaches. Watford fans, what do you think about the Cups? Do you want a good run, or is it all on the league for you and that safety? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Next, though, we do turn our attentions to the Premier League, and Watford will be facing Wolves next, who aren't having the best of time of it themselves.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Watford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Andy Lewis from the Hornet's Nest. We're talking everything where Watford are concerned. Obviously, looking at that disappointing result against Man City, talking all of the fallout from there. Many questions, few answers where that game is concerned. We were delighted to speak to Peter Quinn, member of the Proud Hornets, all about the brilliant award they won for diversity at the Football Supporters Association. We just heard from Stephen Carroll there, giving us a Swansea preview of the Carabao Third Cup. And now it is time for our preview of the Wolves game. But first, we have had a tweet into the studio, Andy. This is from at Wirral Hornet Steve. He says, we need at least a point against Wolves and a win against Sheffield United. He's looking even further. But he also says, very interestingly here, play the reserves against Swansea. What do you make of that?
Well, firstly, thank you, Steve, for getting in touch. I completely agree. Minimum 4 points from the next two games. I think if we lose to Wolves, then it's not panic stations, but it's definitely concerning. You know, it's bizarre how sort of similar Watford and Wolves have been over the last season and a bit. Obviously, last season, the FA Cup semi-final. Pretty much parallel. And then Wolves just nipping above us to get a seventh spot. And then this season, both sides having a woeful start to their Premier League season. For either side, I think, if they lose next weekend, like I said, not panic, but it's definitely concerning. And then 100% it has to be a win against Sheffield United. No disrespect to Sheffield United. We know they can play. They've got a very good 3 points against Everton, albeit a smash and grab yesterday. Has to be 3 points there, so minimum four from the next two games. In terms of the reserves, again, agree to an extent. Like I said, I'd love to see Keane. I want to see Messina. I want to see Backman. I think is that kind of the one that's sort of irritating Watford fans the most. Possibly, we gave Gomez a contract extension over the summer. I love Heredia Gomez. He's a great guy and a great person to have around the dressing room. But if we have Backman waiting in the wings to sort of take over Ben Foster's role, or even Pontus Dahlberg to take over Ben Foster's role when he leaves, his growth, if you like, is sort of being stunted at Watford at the moment. He had a fantastic season, I think, at Kilmarnock last season, played a whole season. The fans loved him there. I think he got them to help get them to Europe as well. I want to see Backman given game time as well. So I do agree to a point with most of the players to play some reserves on Tuesday night.
well, give some new players a chance, especially after that disappointing week. It is the week to experiment and try things. And then, obviously, on the weekend in the Premier League, Watford play Wolves. We just said they're almost running parallel. And we're delighted to say Harry Mansell now joining us on the phone from the Wolves 77 podcast. Harry, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Obviously, today, for a Wolves fan, just a snatch and grab. Well, where the result is certainly concerned. 94th, 95th minute equaliser there. Just getting a point. How do you feel about that one? And then Watford next week.
It's relief. It really is. up into the 94th minute, there was people on social media calling for Nuno's head, believe it or not.
Really?
That goal goes in. Yeah, that goal goes in.
I know, obviously, it's true. I mean, from the tweets, Harry, but you yourself, do you want Nuno out? Is that strong?
Oh, God, no.
It's ridiculous,
oh,
surely.
Oh, God, no, no. Oh, it's ridiculous, yeah. What it is obviously, there's fickle fans out there. But no, look, most Wolves fans didn't think Europe would affect us as much as it has. Mm. And people just get frustrated, don't they? And to be fair to Nuno today, he changed it. Changed the formation, dropped a few big players, dropped Neves. Bennett weren't even in the squad after his mistake midweek in the Europa League. So he changed it about. And first half, we were brilliant. We should have been 2-0 up, but a great save by the keeper off Doherty's header. Jota had a good chance straight at the keeper. And then we conceded straight away. They were still in the dressing room. And then 40 seconds in, goal for Palace, which was going miles wide, took a massive deflection. But we kept going. We went down to 10 men. Saïss made a silly mistake, stupid tackle. But we get that last-minute goal, and it could really be a turning point in our season. It really could. Huge.
Hi there, Harry. Andy here. You mentioned briefly Europe there. Obviously, both Watford and Wolves were competing for that sort of seventh spot for the whole of last season. And for fans of clubs like the size of Watford and Wolves, getting into Europe is a huge deal. It doesn't happen every season, of course. But we saw last season, obviously, Burnley had that terrible start because of European qualification. And yourselves this season, you already touched upon it. Europe seems to be affecting your Premier League campaign. Is it as simple as that? Because you've started your season in July, has European football really affected your Premier League season?
Yeah, I think it has, because our squad's quite small. Nuno loves a small squad. He said from the off, we're keeping the squad small. I think we missed out on a couple of targets in the transfer window because we were still in the qualifying rounds. Ruben Diaz was rumoured, and we ended up getting Vallejo from Real Madrid on loan, who hasn't been the best, to be honest. So, in rotating the squad a lot, if you think back to last year, I think we went 9 games without changing our team. Whereas this year, because of the Europa League, he switched it about that much. It has affected us, it really has. I mean, against Chelsea, we had Saïss on the left of the back three and Vallejo on the right. No Bolly, no Bennett, who was so instrumental in our solid form last year. And we got destroyed. They put 5 past us. So not having the consistent team lineup has really affected us, definitely.
And now, we always see whenever teams come up from the Championship, there's always predictions before the season starts, who's going to go down, yada, yada, yada. Teams like Sheffield United, Aston Villa have got a few points, and Norwich are picking up wins, Brighton, Newcastle, etc. Teams that many people sort of predicted to be sort of down towards the bottom end of the Premier League are kind of picking up unexpected points at the start of the season. And for fans like yourself and me, it's reached the point where I'm sort of, like I was discussing with Charlie, looking out, wanting Arsenal to win today because I don't want Villa to get too far away from Watford. Is that the same case for Wolves? Are you now looking at other teams in and around that bottom half picking up unexpected points?
Yeah, I think we are, but it is still early days. I know we haven't won yet, like yourselves, Watford haven't won, so it's a bit worrying, but I tend not to look at the table till about 13, 14 games in. Then we start to panic. But if we would have lost today and then we'd have played you lot next week and lost at home, then it really would have been panic stations. There'd have been calls for Nuno's head 100%. There already was today at 1-0 down at Palace. There definitely would have been next week. We've got City away after that, and then we've got another team at home, or I forget now, but someone down the bottom. So I'm not worried yet. I think we can sort of adapt with the Europa League. I hope we can, and I hope the players can get it right, because it is a lot to get used to, isn't it? Thursday, Sunday, even for the fans. I mean, the home games on a Sunday always seem to be, the atmosphere always seems to be a bit quiet, do you know what I mean? Don't seem to be up to it as much. So that, everything is different, and it's going to take some getting used to, definitely.
Certainly, planning that Europa League Thursday to Sunday, that takes a while to get used to. And not only that, you have another game this week in the Carabao Cup. You take on Reading before you play Watford. What type of team will he play there? Will Nuno rotate again? Because will he keep an eye out on Watford in the league? Or again, all cups, we're attack them all?
I'll be honest, I think it's going to be a very, very like there'd be a lot of the under-23s thrown in, I think. I can't see him going strong. I mean, Wolves fans didn't even mention him in the League Cup, you know what I mean? He's got the Europa League, the Premier League. He's just a nuisance, really. It really is. He will definitely keep all his best players for Watford because that is a huge game, Saturday, huge.
Harry, you said you wait till about 12 or 14 games to really judge the season so far, but why is there that disconnect, that divide between the fans? Because some fans calling for Nuno's head today, this is a man that got them promoted to the Premier League, gets them in the Europa League. Now, you know, not the best of starts, but the season, like you said, is still in its infancy. Where is the disconnect between some fans, look, let's just take stock of what's happening, or other fans, you know, calling for certain managers to go, because as this is the Watford fan show on Love Sport Radio, they've already got rid of their manager this season. Where do you stand on this sort of divide?
I think it's crazy. I think, obviously, fans just want success, success, success. So we've had the last 2 years, obviously, won the Championship. Had a crazy year last year, coming seventh, obviously, semi-final, the FA Cup, which we don't like to talk about. So going into this year,
I love
Wolves fans are like, right, we want to be pushing up towards seventh again. That's the aim. But they thought we'd just... Like they thought we'd have no problems with the Europa League. So having this little bit of a rocky start, which was quite a tough start, apart from Burnley, we've played teams that were all pushing for that top six, top eight. So it's been a tough start. And like you say, it surprised me, it really has, how many Wolves fans have been questioning Nuno. I thought it'd just be like a minority, but it's close to 50-50 when you look on social media, which is shocking. It really is.
I find that absolutely shocking. I can't quite believe it, because certainly from the outside, obviously looking outside of the bubble, looking in, you know, everyone goes, oh, look at the football Wolves play. Nuno, fantastic manager. You said it earlier, football fans, all sport fans, we're all fickle, including myself, you know, at the best of times. But Harry, I have to put you on the spot. What is your score prediction for next weekend? And bear in mind, please, this is the Watford fan show, so be nice.
Well, you beat us last year at Molineux, I remember that game. I think this late equaliser will give the players a bit of a boost. I think we'll play a similar team that started, actually, today. And I think we're going to beat you 2-0, unfortunately, for you guys.
2-0. You're not making friends in the studio. Harry, always a pleasure to speak to you. Harry Mansell from the Wolves 77 podcast there. Real delight to speak to him. Like Andy said, the teams are running parallel. But Andy, what are your thoughts going into the game? And B, your score prediction?
Well, it's huge, isn't it?
Massive. I hate the term six-pointer, but is it?
It sounds silly to say that after seven games, but I think it is. I think the fact that the teams down there look like they're capable of picking up points. You know, Aston Villa should have won today against a 10-man Arsenal.
Whoa.
Sorry, mate, but you know, we were both in the studio listening to it. But it is, neither team obviously wants to be cut adrift. And if you're suddenly more than 3 points away from 17th spot, suddenly you've got to win more than one game, and suddenly you lose the next game and the team in 17th win their next game, and suddenly you're 4 points, 5 points adrift. And it can spiral out of control, because then when you come against the big sides, they're almost games that you're expected to lose when you play a Liverpool or a Tottenham or a Man City, etc. So It's a huge, huge game, and we're obviously on the back foot straight away coming off the 8-0 defeat and away from home. You know, Harry mentioned there that the atmosphere at Wolves on the Sundays isn't quite what it usually is. This is a Saturday 3 o'clock, and we know the atmosphere at Molineux can be quite intimidating at times. But we know we've got the players. He mentioned there last season we played Wolves off the park, and that was one of our most professional performances of the season. We can do it, but it's so important that this week the players just forget about what's happened, look forward, use Swansea as that platform to build on, and go again against Wolves. I'm going for a nervy 1-0 win.
Going for a nervy 1-0, but he is going for that 3 points. Watford get their first win. Well, I'm delighted to say it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to Andy Lewis this week on the Hornets Nest Show, the Watford fan show on Love Sport Radio. You can join us every Sunday, 7 to 8, to hear everything where Watford are concerned. Next, though, it is AFC Wimbledon.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.